baptism today. Subject title would be, Why Water Baptism? I don't know that I've ever preached this before in its entirety. In my 25 years here, perhaps I've let down. We haven't baptized very many in recent years, but in the past we have. It's important that we learn about baptism, water baptism. And so we want to talk about it today and give you some scriptures and a little bit of things, tell you a little bit of things about the scripture. I've got quite a bit to share, a lot of scripture to share, but we'll do it the best we can, get you out of here as fast as we can, but we're not going to hurry. Is that okay? It doesn't matter to me whether it is or not. Done. Kathy's new here, and she's already talking back. You didn't think I'd hear you way back there, did you? Yeah, I'm glad you guys. I hope you guys have welcomed Kathy and Danny. Danny and Kathy Hedge. I've known them for quite some time. Brother Walt's known them a long while, and some more of you have known them quite some time. And great people. Been attending our church. I forget the name of it now. It's in the past. Brother Ronnie and B. Churchwell's church down at Trousdale, but they closed it here recently, and so they're looking for a church. And so we welcome you here today, and you got to understand, I welcome some banter from back there, but expect me to banter back at you every now and then. Okay? That's just the way it is, and you'll find out I'll say stupid stuff once in a while. And then there's some that respond when I say something like that just as dumb. Right, Todd, you know. Anyway, the act of water baptism, being immersed in water in response to receiving salvation, is a very important first step in your Christian walk. First step in your Christian walk. Let's look at Matthew, the 13th chapter. Matthew, 3rd chapter and the 13th verse. The New King James, and then there's some other versions I may have in here, but we're going to read out of the New King James right now. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me? But Jesus answered and said to him, Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly there came a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus came to Jordan there that day, he saw John, his cousin, baptizing in the river. John baptized unto repentance, with water unto repentance. Jesus came, and although he didn't need to repent, he came to be baptized that day. And he said in verse 15, it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. He was here identifying himself with sinners. He was saying, I'm going to be baptized just like a sinner. And he was representing the fact that he would ultimately bear their sins. I'm glad that Jesus bore my sin. He took my sin to the cross of Calvary. He took it then for his blood to the throne of the throne of grace, laid it there, poured it there, and because of that, I was born again. And because of that, you can be born again today if you haven't been. But Jesus was, ultimately, he was recognizing, identifying himself with sinners. He would ultimately bear our sins, and his perfect righteousness would be imputed to us. Do you understand what that means? His perfect righteousness has been given to you if you accept Christ as Savior. His righteousness. You are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It's not because of works you've done. It's not because of something. I mean, oh, yeah, okay, but I was baptized, preacher. I asked God to forgive me my sins. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I beg you to differ with you today. It's by grace you're saved through faith. It's something that God imputed to you and allowed you to do. Now, you didn't just get up one morning and make a choice. God said, I'm going to send my son Jesus, and if you then will be repent of your sins, I'll forgive you, but you first must do it the way I say. You got to do it my way. God's that way. He wants you to do it His way. And because of what Jesus did, He kind of lets us know that this act of baptism is a necessary part of our our righteousness that He secured for us. So what's that tell you? First, I think one thing it's going to tell you that if Jesus was baptized, we ought to be baptized. It's the first promise or first commandment, if you would, in the Bible, a commandment from the Bible that we ought to be baptized. If you've been born again, you should be baptized. If you've not been baptized, you're a disobedient person. And I'll kind of try to prove that to you here in just a little bit. He came to John to be baptized. And after that, you go over to Matthew, the 28th chapter and the 19th verse, and you'll find what Jesus said concerning that. Matthew 19, verse 28, and I'll just read that. 28, verse 19, excuse me. Therefore, He said, go and make disciples of all nations, and baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There it says Holy Ghost. He said, go baptize them. He says, you go make disciples and then you baptize them. Jesus gave us that commandment before He went back to heaven, before He ascended up. He said, go baptize, convert them and baptize them. That's one of the first things you do. In our modernized comfort zone Christianity here in America, we do, sad to say, tend to take God's commandments far too lightly. God says it, and we say, well, I think I can get away with that one. And you might for a period of time, especially if you're a new baby Christian, and you're in this process of sanctification that you've not grown up yet, you might get away with some things for a while. But this is what Jesus said. Go make disciples and then baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's first things. First things first. You see, Chuck Colson said it like this, kind of points it out like this. He says, most Westerners take baptism for granted. But for many in the world, this act requires immense courage. In countries like Nepal, it once meant imprisonment. If for the Soviet, Chinese, Middle East, or some other Eastern Bloc believers, it was like signing their own death warrant. And you know that's the truth today. Our Western media don't say a lot about it, but if you get on some different websites and find out about it, or you really start searching out, and every now and then we get pictures of it, Christians are being killed because they're Christians. Simply because they identify with Jesus Christ in a lot of different nations. They are lining them up, especially ISIS right now, and those folks over there in the Middle East, they're lining them up and killing them because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, how many of you would give your life for Jesus? I read a story one time about some Eastern Bloc soldiers, and they arrested some Soviet soldiers, and they arrested a guy because he was a Christian. And they took him out, and they said, you must recant, or we're going to kill you. And they just kept on. Finally, he recanted, and one of the soldiers threw down his gun and run out there to where he was at and said, how could you do that? Well, I don't want to die. He said, yeah, but you didn't see what I saw. I saw an army around you. He says, I'll die for that. Because he recognized that there was something supreme and something spiritual about this. And he recognized that being a Christian was really important. And it was real. We just kind of, we're kind of in a zone here sometime in America. Even right here in little Pot County, Oklahoma, kind of get in the zone. It's kind of like, if I want to serve him, I will. If I don't, I won't. If I want to go to church, I will. If I don't, I won't. And that's why the church is half empty today. I guess some of them, oh, I'll leave that one alone. I'll move on. You want to hear about baptism, don't you? So, just like a wedding ring is an outward a sign that a person is married. By the way, I put mine on today. I could get it on again. My fat fingers are not as fat as they were last week. I don't guess anybody else here could identify with that, can you? Well, I got it on. I don't know if I'll get it off. I mean, you know, circulation. I see it turning colors right now. But anyway, it's an outward sign of that I am married. A military uniform is an outward sign that someone's in the military or in a particular branch of service. Similarly, water baptism is a symbol designed by God identifying a person as a disciple of Jesus Christ. You are being identified with Him. I hate to use the word symbol because, you know, and I use it with caution to say that it's just a symbol. It takes away from the depth and the beauty of water baptism. Baptism is a symbol, but it's a whole lot more than that. And I want you to understand, it's not just a symbol. It's not just a ritual. It's an identification with Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We'll get on more into that just a little bit. When we are saved, we are spiritually baptized into Jesus Christ. When you get saved, you have been spiritually baptized. You're already baptized into Him. Look at Galatians, the 3rd chapter and the 27th verse. It says, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ." You have been baptized into Christ and you have clothed yourself with Christ. And it's very important that we understand that scripture today. We have been clothed in Christ. We have been baptized into Christ. Not water baptism, which cannot save. I want you to understand it. I wish there were some more of our candidates here today. They need to understand about this, and I've got a message for them. And they ain't here. Maybe I ought to not baptize them. What? Well, if they don't understand what it really is. You're getting hard-nosed in your old age. You ain't seen nothing yet. I hope that's not true, but anyway, baptism won't save you. Water baptism won't save you. You have to be baptized into Christ through repentance. Be regenerated, changed, made different by the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Water doesn't do it, but the blood of Jesus can. Come on now. So Paul used the word baptized here in Galatians as a metaphorical manner to speak of being immersed or placed into Christ. I've been placed into Christ. There's a spiritual miracle of union with Him in His death and resurrection. When I got saved, I was baptized into Jesus Christ. I become a new creation. Old things passed away and everything become new because I got saved. I want to tell you something today. If I was you and y'all wasn't saved, I'd get saved. If I was you today and you're living a half-hearted Christian life, I think I'd change. Come on, it's important that you live for Jesus. But I've been clothed in Jesus Christ. We are baptized into His body or the church when we get saved. Look at 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to go to Romans 12, Robbie. Let's go to 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. Turn over to there, 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. I wanted to cut Robbie some slack, so I'll just leave that one scripture alone, you know. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. It says this, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many." We were baptized into Jesus Christ, and we were baptized and become a part of His spiritual body when you got saved. You become a part of Jesus Christ. It's very important that you identify with Him and understand you have been identified with Him if you've been born again. Come on, it's serious business. We don't take it serious enough. It's serious business. I've been baptized into Christ and into His church. I'm a part of the church now, the body of Jesus Christ. And Paul, again, wasn't writing about water baptism, but which would be an outward sign that depicts our union with Christ in His death and resurrection, but being immersed with the Spirit in unity with all believers. I'm in unity with you today because I've been born again and we've been immersed and now we identify with Jesus by the church. This church is important. I'm going to do a funeral tomorrow. And I asked the children, they're all up my age or about my age. I said, was your mama a Christian? Oh, well, not in the normal sense. She never did join a church. And fact is, she never did attend one. But mama was a good woman. And mama taught us to treat people right. So I believe she is a Christian. Well, I asked him the same question about their daddy 8 years ago. Laying on his deathbed, I ministered to him while he was dying, cussing. He tried to minister to him. And it was, dear daddy, a Christian? Oh, yeah, daddy's a Christian. Well, not the stories daddy told me he wasn't. Come on, everybody wants to identify with Christ when they're close to death. And everybody wants to go to heaven, but you must be born again. Otherwise, you're not going to go there. What? I thought you were talking about baptism. I am. Being baptized into, immersed in Jesus Christ and baptized into His church and becoming His church. It's important that we learn to do that. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jew or Gentile, slave or free. We were given one Spirit to drink. We are drinking from the Spirit of God today because of that. And so baptism in water is an outward representation of the inward realities. In biblical symbolism, water represents inner cleansing. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. I've been washed, I've been made free, set free by that. Look at Ephesians, the 5th chapter and the 26th verse, and it says, to make her holy, the church, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word. We need the Word of God to wash us and cleanse us and make us clean. You don't get clean. I tell you what, if you don't come to church, and don't come to church. Church is important. And if you don't read the Word, and you don't hear the preaching of the Word, it's like taking a bath without soap. You're going to get all wet, but you're not going to get clean. I thought that was a good analogy. Y'all looking at me like a mule looking at a new gate. You can get in that shower and run around in there all day long. You don't put a little soap on there and rub some of that stuff off. You're going to get out of there and you might smell a little bit better, but pretty soon you ain't going to smell much better because you're still dirty. You need to get you a washcloth, put some soap on there, and rub your skin. But the Word of God, when we go to church and we get the Word of God, we are washed. We have been made cleansed by the washing with the water through the Word. It's important, church. Some of y'all are still thinking, well, I probably didn't take a very good bath last night then, did I, according to the pastor? Didn't use no soap. Well, if you ain't getting the Word in you, it's like not using soap when you take a bath or shower. You're going to get a little wet, but you ain't going to get what you need. It's not going to wash the filth out of your life. You're not going to get rid of the bad language. And the moods, and the bad temperament, the ugly attitude, it's still going to be there. If you're not seeking God, you're not attending church, you're not reading the Word, you're not praying, you're not being washed. So we can baptize you till the bullfrogs, and there might be some in there this year, there's a lot of frogs around. Have y'all noticed that? All this rain, there might be a frog in that water time we baptize next week, and we could baptize you till that frog, you and that frog were best friends. And it still won't save you. Won't do you a bit of good to put you under if you haven't been born again. Just be a ritual. That's all it would be. So, the Bible says in Hebrews 10:22, and I've got to hurry. I promised you I'd hurry. No, I didn't. I told you I wouldn't, didn't I? Well, okay. I'll slow down. Let us draw. All right, I'll move on. Let us draw near with a sincere heart. And with full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. So you see, baptism is an outward representation of inward realities. What God does to us in our spiritual man, our inward man, that's what it does for us. And the Bible teaches us that it's about spiritual rebirth. I've been born again. I was reborn a long time ago, about 40 years ago or so, something like that. I can't give you the exact date. But Jesus said, very, verily, in John the third chapter and the fifth verse, he says, verily, I truly tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of the water and of the Spirit, which both are central themes of baptism. You gotta be born again. It's important that you are. You need to be born again before you're baptized. It's very, very essential. In essence, water baptism is a funeral. It's an act of faith in which we testify both to God and the world that the person going under that water is the person we were before. Is dead and buried, and we are raised a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old man passed away. The new man was raised in newness of life. That's what it signifies. That's why we do it. It's telling the world, I was once dead, but I've been raised into newness of life. I was dead in my trespasses and my sins. Now I'm a new man. I've been saved. Romans 6:4 says, therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. I believe that's the right scripture. Yeah, that we should walk in newness of life. Was that it, Brother Robbie? All right, well, this one here says, well, I got it wrote down wrong. But anyway, we were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. I live a new life. When you get saved, you become new. Your life changes. It might be some baby steps for some of us for a while, but our life changes. And when people see you, especially people who haven't seen you for a while, and they see you, and they observe you, they recognize that something is different about you. They all said, what happened to you? What's going on? Especially if you were really a vile person. I mean, really caught up in sin, and you get really truly saved and transformed by the renewing of your spirit and of your mind, and you begin to live for Christ, and they said, what in the world's going on? Well, let me tell you. I was born again. Jesus has come into my life. He is saved. It makes a world of difference to us. Everybody recognizes that you got saved. If they don't recognize it, I got a great niece and she'll rub her chin, just kind of, she thinks that's cute, I guess, Well, if people don't recognize that you got saved, I'm kind of wondering about that. Did you get saved? Have you been born again? Are you really a candidate for baptism? Probably not. Because they ought to know there's something different about you. Well, preachers, that mean I can never fail? I'll never fail. I'll never make a mistake again. I'll never sin again. I never said that. And I know better than that. Very few people don't fall at one time or another. We do. We make mistakes. We say something we shouldn't say. Do something we shouldn't do. but we repent of it. We recognize it immediately and repent. And let the Holy Spirit lead us into not doing that again. Come on now. That's what you do. So, but we are raised in newness of life. So there's difference in us. Colossians 2:12 says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. See, having been buried with him in baptism, you are raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we've been raised up in newness of life because we were born again. We now recognize that and live for that. So being baptized is a command from God and it is not an option. I'd like to ask the question right here. And I want you to ponder this and think about it. How many of you have been baptized since you were born again? How many have not? Well, that's pretty good. I figured it'd be more than that. Let me ask you another question. Do you walk away from God for a period of time? Have you been baptized since you come back? Something to think about. Baptism is not an option, in my opinion, and according to the, I believe, it's an act that God requires of every believer. Fact is, Jesus' last recorded words on earth in Mark 16:16 says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized, he said. Jesus expected that people that got saved would be baptized. He gave us the example. The Word of God stresses it, and we should do that. You see, Jesus himself calls on every believer to be baptized. If he puts it in that category, he must think it's very important. He himself was baptized, and he calls us all to be baptized, so he must think it's important. And if Jesus thinks it's important, why wouldn't you and I think it's important? Are you a little bit prideful? I don't want to get up in front of everybody. Preacher might drop me. Yeah, and I might hold you under. I have dropped somebody, by the way, because they were ignorant. They wanted to lead instead of follow. But if they follow my instructions, I won't lose you in that thing. But if you want to be ignorant and lead, I will drop you in it and then walk up the stairs and watch you flounder, flop around in the water and get your own footing. Huh? Well, yeah, I ain't going to let you drown me in that sucker. I don't want to get wet. I don't want to get wet like it. I done been baptized. I'm the baptizer, not the baptizee. I had a guy do that one time. It was David Kuhn. I said, I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and he just jerked loose from me and flopped back in that thing, slung water plumb up on the wall. Now I've lost my sanctification all of a sudden. And I've got some more to baptize. It's like, what'd you do that for? You know, but he did. He slung himself under that water and I wanted to put my foot on him. But I didn't. I'm just telling you, I'm being a little bit funny here, goofy. Folks, it's a very serious thing. And when you get up there like him and act ignorant, you are not giving it the reverence. You're not recognizing the significance of it. It's a very sacred moment when you go under that water and identifying yourself with Jesus and letting the world know you've been born again. It's not an option. Fact is, you never read about an unbaptized Christian in the Bible. Fact is, it followed everybody immediately after they were saved. Acts 2:38 says this, when the people respond to Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, the first thing he instructed them to do was repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 41 says, they that gladly received his word and were baptized. They were baptized immediately. They found some water and they said, let's get baptized. Acts 8, verse 26 through 40, and I won't read it at all, but you see the account of the Ethiopian eunuch as he responded to Jesus Christ after Philip led him. He led him to Jesus. As they finished their discussion, the eunuch enthusiastically asked, what is hindering me from being baptized? There's some water right over there. And Philip baptized him in response to his new birth. The first thing the Apostle Paul did after he was converted was go be baptized. They wanted to be baptized. They knew that was what they needed to do. There's a lot of other instances in the book of Acts that I won't read to you right now that signify that they were baptized immediately and urgently. They wanted to be baptized. They all responded to Jesus in simple faith, but they didn't see their faith complete until they were baptized. It's important that we're baptized. It's a corresponding action. Faith without works is dead, however. Did you know that? So they had a corresponding, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. Now I'm going to show my faith by my work, my action of being baptized. They immediately responded and were baptized. A living faith will produce an obedient heart. Look at Matthew 7, verse 21. Let's look over there at it. It goes like this. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And he said, I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So it doesn't matter what you might do if you haven't done what Christ commands. He doesn't pay attention to it. First things first. You should be baptized. It's important that we are. Luke 6:26 says, but why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things I say? How many of us are doing that very thing? Oh, Lord, Lord, you're beautiful. You know, we sing all these songs, I am a friend of God. Well, are you really? Have you been doing the things that Jesus told you to do? Are you really that friend, or you just hope you're that friend? Or hope singing that song will make you his friend? Jesus said you can say, Lord, you know, I've done all these things. I'm going to say, I don't even know who you are. It's important that we obey what the instructions of the Word of God. Preacher, you need to talk about baptism in a little bit different way. Well, do you know people who aren't baptized have a lot higher rate, they say, of walking away from God than those who are baptized? They haven't made that commitment. When I was baptized, I made a commitment. They used to baptize at a youth camp. Come on, Stone, let's get baptized. I ain't getting baptized. Why not? I don't want to. Well, it was a little bit more deep than that. I wasn't at youth camp to get saved. I wasn't at youth camp to learn about God. I wasn't at youth camp to be baptized. I was at youth camp to chase the girls and to have fun, to play baseball, to go swimming. And if they're baptizing you, they ain't letting you swim. They're holding you under at a specific spot. I don't want to be baptized. What's wrong with you? first off, I knew I wasn't spiritually right. I didn't need to be baptized. I wasn't a Christian. They may have thought I was. They may have hoped I would be. But I wasn't. If you're not a Christian, don't be baptized. Get saved. What? Yeah, get saved. That's the most important thing you can do today. You see, people that aren't baptized, they're walking in a basic act of disobedience right off the front. They're on a faulty foundation already. And so it makes it life more difficult to walk obediently when you've started out walking disobediently. Yeah, you start out wrong. Got your foot, you know, got started on the wrong foot. So you need to be baptized. So baptism, I'm about to wrap this up. And guess what? We're going to get through right around 12. Isn't that great? That was a good place to say, yeah. And I wouldn't have said nothing back to you, but, well, I may have. Baptism is a very special way of communicating, of God communicating His love to us. When we receive God's saving grace, it's no accident that He calls us to identify ourselves with Him in a way that makes it real to us. Man, I know it's a big step to let somebody put you underwater in front of everybody else. Your hair's going to get messed up. If you're a lady, your makeup may get messed up. You're going to get wet. And I know it's difficult, but it's important. You struggling with guilt over your past? It may be that you haven't given up, given the person you once were a proper burial. You're still struggling with some things. Maybe you need a proper burial. The old man needs to die. And that's important. Water baptism is a very powerful reminder of God's grace. You're saved by grace. You're saved because of God, not because of you. I believe that. The person we was before is dead forever. I'm not the man, you're not the person you used to be. If you've been saved, you're not the same person you used to be. Aren't you glad? We were raised with Jesus as a totally new creation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, out of the Amplified Bible, therefore, if a person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come. And that's how it is with us. The old passed away, the new has come. You have nothing to lose and everything to gain by following Jesus Christ in water baptism. Nothing to lose. Everything to gain. Ultimately, it goes back to Jesus' statement. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Ultimately, that's where it goes. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Baptism is a simple, yet profound act of obedience. You'll carry with you for the remainder of your life. Water baptism. If you haven't taken that step, apparently most of you have, I still encourage you to do so as soon as possible next Sunday. Of course, in closing, we cannot take baptism without first embracing the reality it represents. A living relationship with Jesus Christ. Without this, water baptism is simply an act of getting wet. Without that relationship with Christ, you're just going to get wet. You can do that at home. If you have not truly embraced a relationship with Jesus, why not today? Why not today? Today's a good day to begin your journey with Christ. Would you stand with me? How many born-again Christians are there here? Just about, that's 100%. And all but just two or three of you have been baptized, correct? Well, if you haven't been baptized, I want to encourage you to be baptized. If you walked away from God for any period of time and you've come back to Him and you've repented, I would encourage you to be re-baptized. Just to do your first works over. Act of obedience to Him. Well, as they play that song, "All to Jesus, I Surrender," perhaps you have something in your life that you've been struggling with. Something that you haven't totally surrendered to Jesus. You're a Christian, but you've struggled. Would you today, because of the leading of the Holy Spirit, would you ask Christ to forgive you and help you with your struggle? That thing you just can't quite get free from? We're walking in sanctification. It's a definite, progressive work. It happened when you got saved, but there's things in most people's lives that sometimes it takes a progression, a steady walk with God to be relieved of all of them. And you'll probably, until you die, still have something you're dealing with. Maybe anger, greed, lust, whatever, just name it, whatever it is, something in your life that you're dealing with. You may be offended easily, and you know that you shouldn't be. You may offend people easily, and you know you shouldn't. You may have a mouth problem. You know, any number of things. Would you just today, as they sing that song, right there where you're standing, just bow your heart and ask God to forgive you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask Him to help you. Would you just surrender whatever it is to Jesus Christ? I can tell you today that if you'll do that, the Holy Spirit of God will help you. He'll give you the power you need to walk a righteous life. God's mercy will endure forever. Come on, just do that right now while they sing. Father, there's this area in my life. There's this thing I struggle with. I hate it. I hate it. But every now and then, when I least expect it, it rears up its head again. And it strikes. It brings discouragement because I know I've disappointed you. Today, Lord, I surrender that area to you. I surrender that thing. I'm not going to carry it no longer. I will shun the very appearance of evil. I will no longer set that wicked thing before my eyes. I will not indulge in that lust. I'll not indulge in anything that would separate me from you, that would bring embarrassment to you, that would bring condemnation into my life. I surrender today, Lord. I surrender all
to Thee, my blessed Savior,
to you today.
I surrender all to Jesus.
Now, if you've done that, just raise your hand up in victory. It's victory. I have surrendered. every area.
Let thy blessing fall on me.
I surrender.
I surrender.
I won't let it control me anymore. I won't give place to it any longer.
All
I surrender.
To thee, my
Hallelujah.
Blessed Savior.
Hallelujah.
I surrender
all. Oh, I surrender, Lord.
All
I surrender,
Jesus,
Lord.
I surrender.
I give it to you.
Now
Holy Spirit,
I
help me.
The sacred
Lead me.
Plane.
Direct me.
Oh,
show me your ways.
Salvation.
Thank you for my
glory,
salvation today, Lord.
Glory to
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
I surrender.
Thank you, Lord, that I've been baptized in Jesus Christ.
I surrender.
Praise God.
All to thee,
Praise
my
the Lamb of
blessed
God.
Savior.
Hallelujah.
I
hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Praise God. Anybody free today? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation, right? New creature. Whoa, look at your neighbor and say, you look like a creature.